Playmakers, your midweek partner for the live show, The Playmakers, aired on WANM FM 90.5 on Saturday from 12:30 to 2. I'm your host, Wes from the 904, Duval in the building, baby, and we got some great topics for you. We're going to be talking FAMU basketball, going to be talking some March Madness, some WNBA, some NBA, and a little bit of NFL offseason stuff. Fellas, introduce yourselves.
What's going on, everybody? Mr. J-Score, Michael Trim Jr.
Yo, what's up? It's your man, JB the King, back here with the Playmakers.
Yeah, I know. It's your boy, 352 Chris, man. Happy to be back.
How are you guys doing today? It's Joshua Bounce representing the FAVO.
And Josh, tell us about how FAMU basketball did over spring break, man. Because we've been gone for a little minute. Some stuff happened. What happened, man?
Well, you know, FAMU basketball has sadly come to an end. Over the spring break, sadly, we didn't take home any hardware as our men's team fell 73-70 against Southern. And our women fell 72-68 against Alabama A&M. But all in all, it was a good season. But fellas, my main question for you guys, what grade do you give the men's and women's basketball teams?
Who are we starting with, men's or women?
Men's.
Men's. Okay, men's get A.
Men's get an A?
Yeah, I did want them to win the whole thing, and obviously, you know, the way it ended, it hurt, but now the school has turned the corner, especially with Coach Ward, so I expect us to, you know, be in the same spot for the next few years as he's here. We were second in the SWAT, which is the highest and everything, so yeah, they get an A.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I'm glad we did this pod. Or I'm kind of glad we did the pod after the loss, like, a week later so we could process it a little bit. Because it was very heartbreaking for the men's and women's, especially the women's, honestly.
Yeah. Not for the men, it hurt more, bro.
You think so?
Because you had so many.
Alabama, like, with the women, bro, we
had it in the bag.
Here's the thing,
bro.
With women, I think it hurt just because... But it didn't hurt as much as the men just because, like, we seen the women not be able to close games, and they just didn't close the game. Men, it's like... You had it, and then you just – why would you leave a best player on a team wide open? Like, for just leaving him taking that shot in the corner.
And the path was there, man.
It was right there.
Like, it was right there.
Number one had fell. We were playing after them, so we knew what our path was. And then for Prairie View to win the whole thing was so nuts.
We would spank them probably if we had a chance.
Yeah. Yeah, but I still have to give the season an A, definitely. Definitely a turning point. In the season, I'm very excited for next season. I'm happy that we have our coach. You know what I'm saying? So, I can't complain too much.
Trim,
yeah, I'm giving the season an A plus. Well, we lost in the semifinals, the second round.
Yeah, semifinals. Yeah,
or
semifinals.
Second round for us.
Yeah.
And we won two games. A game.
We won a game.
We won one game.
We had a bye.
Yeah, you're right. So I'm gonna give it an A plus. You win a game in the conference championship. You lose in the game right before the championship game. I'm going to give it an A+. I think our season was very successful.
Okay, but what about the women's, fellas?
C-. I'm still sticking by it,
B+. B+.
B+.
B.
I give us a C.
B+.
I give us a C+.
I'm going to give it a B.
Why are we giving them? Why would you give them a B+?
We won a tournament game.
We still went 9-22.
But we won a game in the playoffs.
Amen.
We still went 9-22. We beat a team who
that's
we beat.
We're giving it, that's why we're giving it a B.
No, I'm giving them a C-, maybe the highest, a C. Like, this is the year we were supposed to somewhat contend
Now is the seat hot for Coach Gordon? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know if it's hot for her.
She's not getting fired.
Yeah, she's not getting fired. I wouldn't
say it's
hot
at all.
No, it's not hot. I just think, like, if you look at the season as a totality, we were supposed to be able to contend a little bit. And, again, we were bottom of the SWAT. We did have a bye, and we did win a game of tournament. And I'm higher on them a little bit since, you know, we took the number one seed all the way down to the wire. So I give it a C. I can't really go higher than a C, honestly.
I give it a B minus. The regular season didn't go how we wanted it to. We had some explanation. Like, we had a lot of injuries for part of it, but it got to a point where, like, you needed to win some games, and we didn't see that. But then we went into the tournament, we won a game, we took the number one seed down to the wire. It's
we definitely
improvement.
Strong.
It's improvement strong. For sure. Like, it was better than last year. So
yeah.
Improvement is good. And, you know, as far as, you know, we go, Coach Gordon is well-liked, and I think it's a B-minus season. I think we just need to get better.
Yeah.
Indeed.
What you think, JB?
Yeah, I said C+. Regular season obviously was not what we imagined it to be. We were just falling down. What, we lost?
We lost a lot in a row.
Like, six games in a row or something like that. But to end the season beating Bethune, then winning a game in the playoffs, should have beat the one seed, honestly.
That was about 15. It was really
man,
that.
Like,
man, that hurt.
I was watching in class, bro.
I was watching in class, too. I can't.
I was heartbroken. But, Yeah, I'll give it a C plus. We just got to be consistent, man. Like, these ups and downs, going 7-11 in the SWAC, like, that's just not good enough.
Yeah.
But I do like how we ended the season.
Now, postseason play was a big thing. We had Tyler Sherry be all-tournament SWAC team, and then Tanaja Pira for the women, all-SWAC second team for the tournament. Or she was just all-SWAC second team. So we have some star players. Do we think we can retain these players? Do we think they are deserving of this, like, honor? And do we think what will stem for the future with these talented people?
Well, you know, Pira Force, she's coming back. We know Pira Force coming back. I think Shirley, he's a senior.
Shirley's
gone, you know. So
that's unfortunate.
That's unfortunate. But Pira Force, I mean, she's going to be back. And I think if we pair her up with probably like another guard who could probably handle the ball and score, then they could have like a 1-2 punch for the men. When it comes to like a type of guy Shirley is, I feel like you can kind of get them out of the portal, like a 6'6 to 6'8 type of post player. You can find those in a portal.
I think one of the biggest things that we really need to look forward to, right? Again, Coach Ward did his thing. Like, we all can agree, this was like a B season for him, a B grade overall.
A B.
For Coach Ward?
Not a B, an A, actually. Yeah. So, with that in mind, right, we can definitely expect to build upon this season. We saw how he was able to acquire a lot of good players, especially how we got DeLama from a JUCO college. So, Coach Ward definitely is looking, and we will be a hot spot to play at for men's basketball. On the women's side, I don't really know. Like we said, we came alive in the tournament, which is great. But the other thing is, yes, we were battling injuries, but where is this tenacity during the regular season to actually go forth and win games? So women's season for next year, a little up in the air. Men's season, I see a lot of promise going to next season.
Do we think Coach Ward's performance this season will, like, make it this a destination school for prospects? Do you think, like, our program will all of a sudden be a high-level program that he wants to come to?
Yeah, because I think if you look at our coaches, we have two basically coaches who are, like, Hall of Fame, you know, when, like, they were playing and everything. But it's like with Coach Ward, you kind of seen the way he's taking this team, you know, from trash to treasure, you know. So I feel like knowing you can play under Charlie Ward and knowing that, okay, they made it second here. They might win it next year, you know, if he has a couple. So I could see FAMU being a home for a lot of people.
So what do we expect from next year, knowing that we now feel like a destination school with our new coach and our new system and our new, like, production?
Same way or better, honestly.
Yeah.
It depends how the transfer portal goes, obviously. But honestly, I feel like we could get right back to this point or, you know, go win the whole thing, honestly.
I want a big goal. I want, like, a SWAC championship. I want, like...
Yeah.
Championship
contenders.
It's year two, though. So
but we got very far in year one.
We got to see what players we get, and then we got to see how to... I feel like all of us, we're going off of coach. We got to see how the players play, obviously. So I feel like regular season, then we can probably make our decision of what this team's going to be.
Okay. Well, with that being said, we got a little off-season NFL news. JSN, Jackson Smith and Jigba, the reigning offensive player of the year, signed an extension with the Seahawks, $168.6 million over 4 years. It makes him the highest paid receiver by annual value.
How much money is that a year? I mean, don't matter.
But it's like 42 and a half. It's something like that.
Jesus.
How do we feel about this signing? Do we feel like as an overpay? Do we think, like, because that's a resetting of the receiver market again.
You say he's number one, right?
Yeah, but he just beat out Ja'Marr Chase.
I mean, he deserves it.
It's well-deserved.
We're approaching quarterback money, though.
Yeah, he's not a, you know, he's not top three receiver, but, you know, it's well-deserved.
He's not a top three receiver?
No.
He's
not better than Chase. He's not better than Jez. He's not better than CD.
Okay. But he's now the highest paid receiver, and you don't think that's crazy?
I mean,
it's money,
well-deserved,
bro. Like,
you know.
It's money, bro. The market gets reset all the time.
Yeah.
He deserves the payday.
George Pickens is about to be the top paid receiver. So.
If George Pickens makes, I don't know.
I think George Pickens is five right now. I just saw it.
Oh, my word.
Well, they franchise tagged him.
Yeah, they franchise tagged him.
So I think next year, if the Cowboys do decide to pay him, then they'll probably make him the highest or one of the highest. But well deserved, man. Congrats to him.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that takes us to our new segment, or our continuous segment, Reload or Rebuild. We're talking about what you would draft in the NFL draft right now. We are on pick 13, 14?
13.
The Rams pick. Fellas, who do y'all have?
I'm going with Mekhi Lemon,
wide receiver from USC to the Rams. I think you can't never have too many weapons, especially when you have an elite quarterback like Matthew Stafford. They already filled their hole in the secondary with trading for Trent McDuffie. I think Mekhi Lemon is one of the two best receivers in the draft. Yeah.
Between him and Tyson.
He's three.
No, he's two.
He's three.
He's two. Cardinal Tate, Mekhi Lemon.
I've always liked Lemon over Tyson.
Jordan Tyson's that guy, bro. I'm telling you.
But yeah, I got Lemon going 13.
Okay. Yeah, I'm right with Trim. I believe I still have Lemon on my board.
I thought he was gone on Trim's board. You haven't taken him yet?
That was me. I took him early to the Dolphins.
I took Cardinal Tate.
Yeah, no.
That was my first receiver off the board.
I definitely think they get a weapon now that they cleared up their secondary. So Lemon fits. Lemon fits. I would go Lemon.
Y'all don't think he's a little undersized? That's what's part of his detraction. He's 5'11". He's 190.
Size don't matter.
Yeah, like
it's the motion.
It's not a bad frame. Like 5'11", it's not a bad frame for a receiver.
Yeah, he comped himself. Combine. He said, compares getting Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who was arguably a top 10 receiver in the game. So, yeah, that 5'11 stuff don't matter.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Josh, what do you got?
I mean, honestly, I have two. I agree with what Chris was saying about maybe going after Mekhi Lemon.
Nah, I ain't pick Lemon.
I was going to say, that was
JB.
My fault. JB, I agree with what you said. Honestly, I could also see them going with an offensive tackle here, maybe. I could see them going with like a Spencer Fanoe or a Monroe Freeling from Georgia. Mm-hmm. Something just to help protect Matthew Stafford because, again, he is getting up there in age. And I think he has like two more years left on his contract.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely you want to protect your quarterback because he's been getting you places.
Yeah, that was my pick, Spencer Fanoe out of Utah. So, I think they're already ready to go as a team. I think all you do is just keep building that O-line to protect your quarterback.
I've seen a lot of wide receiver three, and I kind of agree with that because, Davante Adams won't be there much longer. Puka Nacua is going to get a massive contract, so a rookie to bring in there would be a good weapon for the future, but I don't mind the offensive line pick either. What do y'all have for the Baltimore Ravens at 14? We got our pick back.
I'm going receiver again. I'm going Jordan Tyson.
Receiver again.
I was thinking that. I was thinking the same thing. But I think I would go O-tackle. I think I would go Spencer Fanoe here. Yeah, that's what I do.
I think I'm going offensive line, but I'm going guard. I don't know how to say buddy's name. Bro from Penn State.
Yeah.
Hey, get rid of Falele and like just play him over there.
To be clear, we have signed a guard. I don't know if he's going to start, but he's played on the Ravens before, Jonathan Simpson from the Jets.
He's solid, but...
And then we have a rookie guard, Emory Jones. I think he was out of Georgia. So I don't know if we're going to take any O-linemen, at least interior O-linemen. Our right tackle position is kind of up in the air.
You can move one on the right tackle, don't you think, though?
Probably. Like, that's what the whole O-line situation is, because we have a lot of, like... depth pieces and signings, and so I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. So I don't know if they're going to take an offensive lineman. Josh, what do you think?
Honestly, I can see the Ravens maybe getting a wide receiver here, but wide receiver wise, maybe Jeremy Bernard. I wouldn't be too mad about that.
You're getting Jeremy Bernard in the first round
at 14.
I'd rather them go
14 after that 40 time he just had.
What do you run?
Like four, bro, it was like close to 4.5, or if it was 4.5.
It might not be a fast time, but we saw how he had hands in college, and at the same time, he could absorb hits, and that's kind of sort of what the Ravens need in their wide receiver room, because no offense to Zay Flowers.
You're in a 4.48. My bad, keep going.
I mean, that's okay.
Flowers is speed. He's not really a big body receiver that you can just throw that slant route to and not have to worry about him getting popped.
What? Flowers has great hands. His problem is just holding on to the ball.
Bernard has better ball security in my opinion than Flowers, but
that's not. Yeah, but I wouldn't draft him for that reason.
Jordan
Tyson, I believe, would still be on the board.
Yeah, Tyson would probably still be there.
So I could see Tyson instead. Kenyon Sadiq is actually like mocked to still be there, so I could see them also taking him, but. It's a weird spot because we don't have, like...
Y'all kind of like the Rams a little bit. Like, y'all don't necessarily, like, fiending for a position.
No, yeah,
like,
nothing terrible needs, but we need help.
Yeah.
All right, last pick, Tampa Bay. What do y'all have going?
I got them taking Keldrick Folk from Auburn.
Yeah.
Their defense was middle to, you know,
garbage.
Yeah, to the end of the pack.
Facts.
So I think getting an edge rusher right here would be a good fit for them.
Yeah, I was between Folk or C.J. Allen. Levante David is getting a little bit older. They definitely need some star power on that defense. I'm going to go C.J. Allen, actually. They need some star power on that defense. Offense looks good. I know they lost Mike Evans, but I have my top three wide receivers off the board now. I think anybody else would be a little bit of a reach. Yeah. So I'm going to go C.J. Allen.
Yeah, I kind of went defensive route. I went Jermont McCoy from Tennessee. I think when you lose Jamal Dean and that back end, like they've been losing like corners like from year after year. So I think they just you get a young solid corner to start. I was going to say him or Mesidor from Miami.
Josh,
Honestly, I am thinking more so the DB route, but with this one, I think this is where Evion Terrell goes.
Okay.
I like that.
Okay.
I like that.
All right, fellas. Well, this is what we've been waiting on. March Madness, college basketball. Oh, it's been going on all week. We haven't been able to talk about it because we've been on spring break. First, I want to kick it off with, what was the upset of the first two rounds that surprised you the most?
Please don't say it.
We already know what it is, man.
All right, man. We don't have to talk about it.
No, we do have to talk about it.
We don't have to talk about it.
It is actually. It's not upset by rankings, but like that's not an upset.
It's not even the biggest upset either.
What's the biggest upset?
No one even said it.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin ain't nothing, bro.
Wisconsin was tough.
Yeah. Based on my bracket, bro.
Let's not wait. Bracket. Hold on. Oh so gosh. I need actual answers.
It's
not
High Point over Wisconsin. 100%.
That's your choice.
Yeah, that's my
just,
choice.
It's Iowa over Florida, bro.
Indeed. That's a 1-9, man. That's
bro. We've seen a 16 beat a 1 before. Like 1-9 is not that crazy.
That's true, but
12-5 not that crazy. It was a 12-5, right?
High Point though. Like when you hear the school High Point, like come on, man.
They get their pick. Josh, what do you think was the biggest upset?
You know, honestly, I have two. Definitely High Point versus Wisconsin being one of them. But the other one that I have, Texas over Gonzaga.
There we go, Josh. You know ball.
Because, look, no
Texas
one was expecting.
Did beat them boys.
Exactly. And no one thinks of Texas as a basketball school. And the fact they're going up against Gonzaga and they won.
Oh, that's real.
Crazy.
I forgot about that.
Even Texas over BYU, right?
Yes.
That was also surprising to me.
No.
Really?
That wasn't
surprising.
I picked Texas to win that game.
I picked
BYU,
Wes, no offense to BYU, but at the same time, their main focal point was A.J. DeBanster. He did his thing.
He did.
The rest of the team,
I felt so bad.
The rest of the team was garbage, though. Like,
DeBanster was really out there with nobody.
They wanted him to be LeBron James to carry a trash team on his back, but that's too much to ask.
Bro, but he had a 35-point double-double, man. Like, I was expecting him to, like, take him there because he showed up.
But, Wes, you know better than, bro, you know, like, you can't just carry a team, like, especially March Madness.
You can in the first round, not to the whole tournament, but I didn't expect Texas to.
It's 7-10, or was it what, 7-10, 6-11? Like
6-11.
That's not that far of a gap between. If it was like a 1-16 or like a 2-15, I could see that.
Dude, it's a 5-seed gap.
What?
Texas had a play-in game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, BYU, I mean, they've lost some big games, but as far as, like, bro, DeBanster had a great game.
Texas to win that game, honestly.
Bro, he had 35 points that week, 12-12 at the free throw line.
Did you pick it because they're the better team or did you pick it because it's March Madness?
No, I picked it because Texas showed me, bro, the SEC was one of like the tougher like conferences when it came about. So I'm like, okay.
If they were so tough, why the Wausau lost?
Has you seen your team win a March Madness ring yet?
That was but yours just happened, bro.
Like, it don't matter. I got to see it with my own eyes. Have you seen it?
Man, it just happened for you, man.
Did you see Florida State win anything?
It just happened for you, man. I don't know what you're talking about, bro.
Okay.
What have you done for me recently, though?
And they have what did we do recently?
No, you just lost a 1-9, bro. What you did recently was lose a 1-9.
Okay, that's cool.
I'm just saying.
You tell us.
I was crazy.
Next question.
Next question, bro. Okay. Listen, so Kansas just lost to St. John's. Mm-hmm. And it was an upset, but it wasn't a crazy upset. Like, it was a 1-point game. It was a 4-5 matchup. Wait, 4-5?
Yeah.
Yeah, 4-5 matchup. Yeah. So it was a close game the whole time. Does this drop your stock for Darren Peterson, though.
Finally.
Because Darren Peterson has been controversial all year. You know, he's been checking himself out. He's been doing this. He's been doing that. He actually had a decent game. You know, he dropped 21 points. But
it wasn't very efficient.
But he was the best scorer on his team. He was the best player on his team, even though he didn't have a good game. Best game.
I've been saying this all year that this man, again, he's going to go top five, but he's not a top three pick. I'm going to keep saying it.
Chris, why he's not going top three?
Because the man, bro, if y'all look at February and March, the way he played, I'm seeing 16%, I'm seeing 20%, 30%. I'm like, yeah, you can score. But you're also a high volume scorer. No,
because you got to understand.
He's also the best player on his team.
That too, and that was also the first time in that part of the season where he was playing, you know, whole games and his full slate of minutes.
Wait.
Before that, he was playing 20 minutes a game. So now he has to get his conditioning back up to, you know, play 30 minutes a night.
That's not an excuse.
That is.
Wait a minute. We're talking about a guy who's supposed to go number one in the draft saying,
"That's not a good
excuse.
Hey,
bro, you
got
to get your conditioning up."
That's fair. It is, though.
That's fair.
But we're not doing it. But no, if you're supposed to be NBA ready.
Yeah, but he was dealing with injuries early in the season.
Bro, cramps. Bro, he's just cramping. Like, that's it.
What do you mean? Cramps are serious.
I know cramps are serious. Wait. The guy that plays on your team, he had cramps. You seen that he was able to...
And we drafted him number one overall because he was the best player in the draft. And exactly. If Darren Peterson's not the best player in the draft.
I
didn't say he was.
I don't
know
if he's the best. Bro.
But if a GM says that's the best player in the draft, then take him number one.
Wait, let's see where everyone has him as their draft stop. Trim, where would you take him? Where is he?
Like, where does he rank in my big board?
Yeah.
He's top three.
But one, two, or three. Pick.
Me personally?
Yeah. Right now.
Me personally?
Yes, you, Trim.
I think he's three.
Okay.
Hmm.
JB, where is he at?
He's two.
He's two?
Yeah.
Chris?
Four.
Josh?
He's a hater.
Honestly, I'll say four or five.
Thank you.
Who's three? Who's three in your big four or five?
Caleb Wilson.
Who's your four or three? Like, who's ahead of him? Four
A-Cuff.
Or five?
Acuff?
Okay.
Okay. I love Acuff, but that's
listen,
come
listen
on, bro.
Though.
Let's,
it's
let's
getting
real,
close
bro.
With
let's
him.
Let's be for real, bro.
Y'all made me open my eyes.
I love
Acuff.
Have y'all seen
Acuff
play defense? Have y'all seen him play defense?
That boy is a cone.
Nah, he's a cone.
Literally.
What about Flemings? Y'all are like, bro, Flemings is a dog now.
All right, now.
I don't really like Flemings.
Let me pose this to you, man. So. This is not the NFL. This is the NBA. And mm-hmm. when that big board comes out, when like those mock drafts come out and people have ranked players, that doesn't really change no matter what people see in that tournament. Like when people get bounced early, it almost doesn't matter. When they have a bad performance, it almost doesn't change the rankings.
I think it matters for this draft, though, bro.
I think AJ's
because they're so close.
Too,
yes.
I think AJ's still going
so
to.
Maybe,
I think AJ is one.
I think
me personally, I would take Campbell's number one.
Thank you.
Because I like a surefire thing. I think he's the most NBA-ready prospect, and he has the highest floor. I like a surefire thing.
Are y'all not nervous?
But the Bantza, he's 6'9", 215.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has the highest potential. That's why I'm not mad at when people say, oh, AJ's number one, because his potential is through the roof.
I mean, yeah. AJ a dog, bro.
No, for real.
And Cam is like, I already know what I'm, like you kind of said, I know what I'm getting.
Yeah.
I'm getting a 6'10 mm-hmm. wing who plays both sides of the floor and will rebound at a high level.
Mm-hmm. But if I'm a team like the Indiana Pacers and I already got Tyrese Halliburton, Pascal Siakam, and I can afford to take a swing, I'm taking AJ to Bantz.
I wouldn't be mad at that.
I mean, granted, I do think Cam is a better fit, but
I think higher
potential.
It really depends.
That's a tough one.
But if I'm the Sacramento Kings,
exactly.
I'm taking Cam Boozer.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, if I'm the Kings,
I think I would. DeRozan already there. Yeah. You need something.
I don't know who I'm taking if I'm the Kings. The Kings are so bad.
I think
I'm taking Cam.
First, I got to trade everybody. Then I got to trade. Then I'm going to figure out, okay, now who I'm going to take.
This draft is so interesting because there's bad teams, but there's also good teams that can get high value picks like the Mavericks, the Pacers, the Hawks,
the Nets.
The Nets.
I really try to sneak them
stop
in there.
It. Jesus.
Man, the Pacers might have
even Pacers. I ain't gonna lie, Pacers are the scariest
even
team.
The Wizards, bro. The Wizards get a top three pick.
You go DP.
Mm-hmm. You know,
you go DP.
You go DP.
You probably do go DP.
Why? Because you already got Sar, you got AD, you got Trae Young.
Yeah,
but that's why
you got
I feel
Trae
like,
Johnson.
But honestly, that's
DP
why I feel
better.
Like you go AJ if you have the opportunity to go get AJ.
I can see AJ.
Yeah,
because now he fits that two or that three for you.
You right?
Okay,
you right.
I can see AJ. That's okay. I agree. Yeah, AJ.
I'm so excited for the draft, bro.
But to circle back, Darren Peterson. We just talked about it. The tournament, this stuff doesn't really affect how much they move in the big board. So where do we think You think he's four? Like, are we continuing with this?
I've been saying he's been four since, like, the start of college basketball.
Chris has.
I might switch to say three, but like I said, the big thing is, like you said, they don't really look too much at March Madness. They more so look at what a player has done over the season.
And like, so and what you can do. He can shoot the ball. Yeah, he can create. He can score for himself.
He can shoot. I'll give him that. That's why apparently on X, a lot of people have been saying his game reminds me a lot of Kobe. I don't know.
Kobe. Hey,
we got to chill with Kobe, that, by
yeah,
the way.
Kobe, I don't agree fully with that.
I don't even know if that should be a good thing.
Nah, he gives like, he's dead like Devin Booker.
Because if your game's Kobe, Dane, bitch, you're not as good as Kobe, that's terrible.
I've been seeing Brandon Roy
Book,
a lot.
Dane, like,
I thought you said Bane. No, I was about to say.
No.
Nah,
Book,
not him.
Oh, I say he's not DB. That's disrespectful.
Oh, no, like, he's probably
y'all
better than DB.
Didn't y'all just lose to Luke Kennard, though?
I don't want to talk about it.
And man, that's the sniper.
Open. Wide open.
Wide
Let
open.
That man fix
that
his
That man fix his arm sleeve up.
Boom.
Yeah, done.
Sorry.
Okay,
Sorry.
Well, all this March Madness talk takes us into the Sweet 16. What are y'all picks for these games?
Ooh, bad.
Tell us.
So, man. According to my bracket. Going game by game?
Yeah, as soon as I find the right tab. Yeah, okay.
So first, Duke, St. John's.
Duke, St. John's.
Duke.
I picked Duke in my bracket.
Duke.
Now, St. John's.
Joshua Bounce.
Joshua Bounce.
Let's talk about this, bro.
All right, bet.
Now, as well coaches of a team as St. John's is, how are they going to beat Duke, man? They got the number one over pick, like number one overall pick.
I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, hold on now. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget about how Duke had that scare in the first round against Siena.
Everybody had a scare in the first round.
True, but...
Nah, I won't say
look,
that.
Hold on now.
I want to say that.
When you look at the first half, right?
Well, y'all pre-preview.
Cam Boozer was held to just 4 points in the first half.
Right.
Yeah. You were supposed to be that guy. You should not be struggling like that against a team like
he had a slow game against Virginia, too. They still won.
Got a question for you.
True. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Trim.
Did they win the game?
If
you can hug, you can hear. Did they win the game?
You did win. But look, like I said, I think that St. John's will outcoach Duke, and that in the end, it's going to be a good game. I will admit that. I think it's going to be a down-to-the-wire game. I have St. John's winning by like 2 or 3 points.
You know, it's March
so
Madness, bro.
You trust yourself being in a clutch versus Cam Boozer?
Yes.
And John Shire?
Yeah.
He's probably the best coach in basketball right now.
I don't think...
You got two great head coaches going at it, though.
I don't think there's going to be a layup for the win in this game. I'm going to be so honest, man.
It's not going to be a landslide win. It's going to be a dogfight.
Okay, man. You got
to
stick to that.
This is one of those... It's March Madness, bro. I mean, anything can happen.
You've seen it in March. You've seen guys like Caden Boozer step up, guys like Isaiah Evans step up. Like, it's not just Cam Boozer on this team. This team is deep.
I will say, Josh, St. John's got beat by Alabama, Auburn, Kentucky. I mean,
this March Madness, that don't matter now.
Duke is a different beast, man.
Dame Sarr's been coming alive these last few games.
It's March. Anything can happen. It's chaos.
I'm telling you.
Well, let's be honest. This St. John's Kansas game, even though they won, it was kind of ugly.
It was.
It was very inefficient on both sides.
I mean, yeah, when you got AP,
I didn't see that game and think. And I didn't see that game and see like a great St. John's win. So and then Duke came off of this TCU game where they blew them out by 23. Like, what are we talking about?
So
everybody taking Duke but Josh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Remember, he said he got them winning the whole thing.
Makes sense, bro.
Yeah.
Shout out to you, bro. Shout out to you, man.
All right, Michigan State, UConn.
You know,
that is a tough one.
According to my bracket,
we got Michigan State. UConn, because I did pick them in my bracket.
According to my bracket, is UConn.
Michigan State, bro. Let's do it.
I picked Michigan State. However, UConn looked good last night against UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
They look really good.
Yeah.
However,
now they
I think Michigan State arguably had the best point guard in the country right now. It's close between him and Smith from Purdue. But I'm going to take Michigan State.
Okay.
We know who Josh got, man.
Hold on. No, you don't. No, you don't.
You have Michigan State.
I picked UConn.
Oh.
Here's the reason why. No. Look, as much of a Spartan fan I am, I'm not going to be a delusional Dallas Cowboy fan.
Oh.
The biggest problem with Michigan State, for the past couple of years, we've always made it either to the Sweet 16 or to the Elite Eight. The problem that we always run into, we get cold from the field. Mm. Like last year against Auburn, I believe, we went like a good 3 minutes without scoring a basket.
Y'all were going to get spanked.
And that caused Auburn to go up by 15. If that cycle is going to continue, UConn is going to win that game. And that's why I can't really just confidently say.
I mean, Auburn had whatever.
Auburn had Janai, Rome, and Pettiford. Like, y'all were going to get spanked by them.
Yeah, Auburn was a pretty juggernaut of the
y'all
team
weren't,
that
y'all
year.
Y'all weren't us last year. We could just, you know, get them, pat them boys out of there.
Hey, but they're not y'all this year either.
Okay. Have you seen your team win a championship? That's all I'm
saying. All I'm saying is we're talking about last year. We're in the middle of it.
I hate when people talk about old championships. Like,
it's 1 year old.
Wait a minute.
You're a Magic fan. You haven't even been alive to even see them win anything.
That's just rude.
That's
bro.
The point of the conversation. Why are we talking about old chips?
That's 1 year old. You had like we won it 20 years
ago.
But
we're in the middle of a new tournament, bro. Y'all just
that's
lost.
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
bro,
we lost. On the couch,
we talking about last year.
Bro, we lost, bro. Like, it's cool.
Hey, speaking of y'all losing, Iowa and Nebraska. Who y'all got?
Nebraska. I don't care. Nebraska.
I took Florida to win this game, but they lost and messed up my bracket.
No, my South region is so bad. My South bracket.
Give me Iowa.
Give me Nebraska. Y'all picking Iowa. Can they beat us? Is that the only reason why?
No.
I mean.
What have you seen from Iowa that's going to make you think they could beat Nebraska?
They have a guy.
What have we seen from Nebraska?
He's a pro. I mean.
Sturts was throwing up.
Okay, he had one bad game. But you know what? It mattered most. He made one more pass, and buddy game draw.
Bro, you could make that pass. Anybody can win that court. Can
anybody
make
can make that shot because he was wide open.
Yeah, I know. Trust
bad
me.
Defense.
I know that's bad
he's
defense.
Talking about Luke Kennard. Well,
that's bad. No, that's professionals that left a man wide.
Hey, bro,
open.
If you look at that shot, he kind of caught it like two steps in front of the line. He like
step back.
He kind of waddled back because it wasn't very athletic.
Wait.
It wasn't
very athletic. A guy had time to fix his sleeve and then still.
That guy had time to take four steps back. He didn't even take one big one.
You said two, not four.
Same. He games off.
Same. I got game by Luke Kennard.
I don't really have an opinion on this game. I'm going to just pick Nebraska.
Yeah, it's a kind of whatever. Like, I don't think the winner of this game is going to cause too much noise.
Yeah. I picked Iowa to go to the Elite Eight just to, you know, put that out.
Shout out to you, bro.
Illinois versus Houston, man. Three versus two.
Illinois.
Houston.
I'm going Houston.
Illinois been looking
Houston.
Good, man.
In my bracket, I picked Illinois.
I did too.
Houston.
In my bracket, I picked Illinois.
I wouldn't be surprised if Illinois won.
They've been looking
I'm gonna pick
good, bro.
Houston, bro. That's a Final Four team right there.
I said Illinois.
Thank you.
All right. Tennessee, Iowa State.
I picked Iowa State.
Tennessee, who?
Tennessee.
Iowa State. Tennessee, Iowa State.
Oh. Ooh. Iowa State, man.
Yeah.
Iowa State went crazy against Kentucky in the second half. Oh, my God.
Kentucky. Yeah. Come on.
I don't know if I was tweaking,
Kentucky
but I picked Virginia to be in this game. But
I did too.
Okay, yeah. But I had Iowa State's going to win this game.
I'm going to tell you Iowa State.
Shout out
it's
Iowa State,
it's
going
to be closer than what we think, though, honestly, in my opinion.
All right.
A lot of these games in the round 16 and moving forward are going to be pretty close. So, definitely Iowa State still, but yeah.
No, I'm not. I love the matchups,
but I wouldn't be shocked if Tennessee won this game.
Yeah, no,
I wouldn't
honestly,
be shocked
either, bro.
Michigan, Alabama,
Michigan.
That's the game. I think that's going to be a blowout, if anything.
That's what I got
Michigan.
Too.
Michigan's far better than Alabama.
The 11th seed is on a run. Texas versus Purdue.
Part of me wants to pick Texas.
I really want to pick Texas, bro.
I'm
they,
going
they
Texas.
They feel like the Cinderella team right now.
But this
I'm
might
not
be Purdue's year.
But I'm going to go Purdue.
Yeah, I'm going to go Purdue, too.
Me, personally.
I'll take Purdue.
I like how they play.
I had Gonzaga, but.
Yeah, I did, too.
I had Gonzaga going to the championship.
To the championship?
Wow. What?
Yeah. To the championship?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who did I have?
No, I had Purdue.
I had Florida and Duke.
Oh, yeah.
Last game, Arizona, Arkansas.
I'm so excited for this game, bro.
Arizona.
This game will be
Let's
crazy.
Let's go Arkansas, man.
I need to see buckets, bro.
Darius Acuff dropping 40. No cap.
All right, well, yeah. There we go.
Arkansas,
my bad.
Honestly.
I'm going Arizona, by the way.
Oh.
Sorry.
He dropped a 40 in the L?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Yeah. Arizona was my champion.
Did everyone have Arizona in this game?
Yeah.
I okay. Don't. You don't? You got Arkansas?
Think this might be.
Yeah, I'll go Arkansas.
I might take Arkansas.
If Acuff, like.
If Acuff can do
well,
what
yeah,
he's supposed to do.
Let me ask this question.
He that guy, bro.
Listen, if Arkansas beats Arizona, they probably go to the chip. To be honest, looking
no,
at it,
don't.
They still have to.
If Arkansas beats Arizona, they can't beat the winner of Texas Purdue.
They'd have to play Michigan or Iowa
State. Michigan. Like,
I'm not worried about Iowa State.
They might get spanked.
Maybe Michigan.
Team,
I ain't gonna lie.
They make the Final Four then.
Yeah.
Okay.
I might get spanked though.
Well, let's say Acuff wins the chip and he's scoring the whole way through. Does that move his draft stock for y'all?
Absolutely.
Probably like up to
I don't think anybody I don't think anybody can drop it. What? Seven?
Seven seems low now.
Come on, bro.
What you haven't mean? Met seven?
Come on, gang.
You haven't met seven?
He said he has him at seven after he wins the chip.
That's just
so where's that right now?
How is that embarrassing?
That's just hating, bro. Have you watched?
Where do you have him at?
Five, literally.
Wow, two spots is embarrassing.
Yes.
Oh yes, it is.
Because it's like there's not six prospects better than Darius Akon.
Come on, bro.
Name the top. Name the top seven if you're going to say he's seven. Board,
Chris? I'm trying to think of who I know. I said it was Cam, AJ, Caleb, and right. I had DP.
Right. You got Kingston Clemens. Above him?
Yes.
You got Wagler?
No.
Actually, no. I think I said he was. Yeah, so he'll be six then.
Okay.
Him and Kingston are fighting for that five spot right now, in my opinion.
Why? Okay. Like, what does he do better Kingston's besides up. Defense?
Ooh. What do you mean besides defense? That's a big thing, right? That man is literally. I don't know who plays worse defense than him or Artie Crooks, honestly.
That's crazy, man. We all know who plays worse defense.
But I'm saying, though, like.
That girl is 300 pounds, bro.
In a bucket.
Yeah, I mean, she does score. You're true. That's correct.
She's at 40, bro. Like.
All right, well, that concludes the March Madness section. We're going to talk about some WNBA news. This is crazy because this doesn't really usually come up on the pod, but it's a big deal because they had signed a new CBA, collective bargaining agreement, and it increases base salaries, it increases bonuses, it increases all of this stuff by a lot, honestly. It's about $1 billion in increases. Ooh. It's because of a new revenue
sharing.
A billion with a B.
It's a lot of money.
Where did you get that from?
The article I read. What do you mean, where did I get that from?
Tell me where.
It says.
Oh, I probably didn't get that far. I just seen that max contracts are now $1 million.
Each team salary.
Max contracts are $1 million.
Well, that's up from way lower, but the team salary.
$249K. 10-year, $1 million.
10 years.
That's.
Listen, the team salary cap will be set at $7 million in 2026.
That's ridiculous,
and
bro.
Will be close to $11 million by 2032.
That's ridiculous.
So, each team.
Hey, wait. You said it would be what?
That's not.
You said it would be $11 million?
By 2032?
It says 2.4
million. Yeah, it says 2.4 million by 2032.
I'm looking at the collective bargaining agreement.
I'm looking at it too.
How are we reading different collective bargaining agreements?
Hold on, I'm on the AI overview. Maybe it's.
Why are you on the AI overview? We talk about this. We are journalists. I'm on the WNBA, WNBPA website.
Hey, we're supposed to be journalists. Why are you looking at it from a
PDF?
We're supposed to already know this.
So somebody didn't do
tune
the research.
Tune in to Leveling the Field on Saturdays for all women's sports.
Hey, man, what a good W plug, bro. Shout out them. Shout out to Mia.
Shout out to Mia,
they,
man.
They doing their thing.
So it'll be close to $1 billion in the whole league because of the $7 million, you know, cap space now, $11 million by 2032. Max contracts will be $1.4 million. Projected $2.4 million by 2032.
Absolutely.
Average contracts would be $583,000.
That's a lot of money.
I wonder how much is a technical foul. Like they go out there fighting, bro. Yeah, you owe like $100, bro. God. Like you good.
$100 is crazy.
And this also includes performance bonuses and awards. WNBA champions get $60,000 per player. That's up from $22,000. You know, runner-ups get $20,000 a player. All WNBA first teams get $30,000 a player.
Hey, shout out to them, bro.
Indeed.
It's not NBA money, but that's still a lot of money, bro.
That is a lot of money, man.
I can't compare it to the NBA money.
I'm looking at it now,
and it's like, bro, yeah, you get like $15K for being the finals MVP. Like, bro, what the?
And then there's benefits like you can't trade a pregnant player.
Are you serious?
Hey,
I'm serious. It's the WNBPA. Hey. The players, we're trying
to. They got to stick with Asia. All right, bro. That's going
to
be crazy.
They're trying to, you know, make it a better place for the WNBA players to work. You know, they're trying to make it a quality of life improvements. But I said all this to say, it's a lot of money increase. It's $1 billion.
Yeah, man.
That's $1 billion out of the NBA's pockets because it's a revenue sharing thing.
Cool.
Do we feel like this is an appropriate increase?
Yeah.
Do you think
it's just going to keep getting better, you know?
Because, you know, they've had some big seasons, but do y'all know who's like the WNBA? If I brought up the WNBA all first team, would you recognize all the names?
Asia. Aaliyah Boston. Was Aaliyah Boston first team?
Yep. Shout out to Aaliyah Boston.
Okay, so her.
Oh, this is a great segment. I'm bringing up the WNBA.
I hope I'm right. Nafisa, Asia, Aaliyah Boston.
Kelsey
Stewie.
Plum? Kelsey Plum. Yep.
Okay, only two of those people were on the first team.
So Asia
Wilson, Nafisa Coiler, Alyssa Thomas, Alicia Gray, and Kelsey Mitchell.
Okay. Oh, I was way off.
You were struggling.
You said Boston. What? All right.
Boston was on the second team. Paige Becker, Sabrina Ionescu.
Shout out Paige.
And Yeka Abumake. And Jackie Young.
Okay.
Ah, dang.
Listen, we were just bringing shining a light on all the improvements because those quality of life improvements are very important and improves travel, hey, improves all that good stuff. So that was a big news in the WNBA. That's absolutely revolutionary.
Absolutely,
he said revolutionary.
It is, bro. You can't trade a pregnant player.
That's crazy.
One small step for man. Yeah,
all right, Trim, calm down, calm down.
Shout out to the woman, man.
Yeah, shout out to
May that money on, man.
Especially with their other lead that they got going on, bro. They doing their thing.
Oh, yeah, I have been seeing clips
Unrivaled.
Of that.
Unrivaled.
Yeah, Unrivaled. Unrivaled really
tough. That 1v1 junk Kelsey is Plum crazy, went crazy. Though. Like threes and twos to 11 is kind of crazy, bro.
Who's, y'all seen that one movie that Ray Allen did with the...
he got game?
No.
Jesus shows where?
No.
Wait, no, what are you talking about?
Talking about
where he
not he got
when game? He goes into the WNBA?
Harvard man.
Are you talking about Joe? Oh, I think I might know what you're talking about.
What?
Wait, are you?
We might have to cut this out.
Ray Allen? Maybe.
I don't know.
You sure it was Ray Allen, bro?
Maybe. It might not have been. I could be making that up, but it was somebody.
I've never seen a bald woman playing basketball in a
movie. No, the player wears a wig, man. Like, y'all haven't seen this movie.
I'm trying to think.
My tweaking.
Juwanna Man.
There we go.
Oh.
It was not Ray Allen.
It was not Ray Allen.
You know, I was mixing movies, man. My bad.
They got Genuine in here?
Oh, my God. Okay, maybe we should move on.
Ray Allen, all people, bro. That is
I don't
insane.
Know. I combine movies, but that's my bad. But moving over from the WNBA to the NBA, the Lakers are the 3 seed in the West, and they're playing for a 10-game win streak tonight against the Pistons. People have been talking about how the Lakers have no chemistry, how they're not going to work, how LeBron's old, how Luka's soft, how he doesn't play any defense.
That's crazy.
All this good stuff. No, this has been conversations we've had in this room.
You're right.
Are they contenders to you?
So it depends on what you're considering contenders.
Yes, they are a contender. They are contenders.
All right, what do y'all consider a contender?
Like,
Can they make the finals?
No.
Can they make it?
No.
Yes.
No.
They can make
no.
it.
They can.
They can make the conference finals. They can't.
No, they can make the finals.
No.
Why can't
actually,
they make the
I kind of believe
because,
you.
See, I look at this Lakers team like this. If they run into a Nuggets or a Timberwolves, they could easily lose that series because the matchups doesn't favor
have
them.
Have you not seen the Nuggets play this year?
The Nuggets have been mid, but still, you're talking about a...
The Timberwolves been struggling. They're like the 6 or 7 seed.
The Lakers haven't been mid.
No, I'm talking about the Nuggets.
I'm saying, though, but have the Lakers been mid?
The Lakers have been at some point this season. Now. They were like,
yeah, but the Nuggets have been mid throughout the whole season.
But I'm
the
saying.
Nuggets have maintained a good standing.
They have maintained mid. That's what you're saying.
When Jokic was hurt,
they have maintained mid.
But here's the thing, though. If the Lakers and Nuggets meet up in a 7-game series,
I'm taking the Nuggets.
Exactly.
I'm taking the Lakers.
Okay, here's the thing, though.
And that's not crazy.
Here's the thing, though. If you take the Lakers, you got a matchup problem against the best player in the world. That's gonna be an issue. And
okay,
we all know Jamal Murray turns up when he's in
Luka's
the
on the Lakers. What do you mean best player in the world?
That's not... Bro, Chris, you can't be mad. You see what he's been doing,
bro.
Chris,
doing,
he might be MVP,
this
bro.
This is a Thunder fan. Hey, man, you can't... Don't leave this room. What are we doing?
I think just from the fact that a couple weeks ago...
Best player in the world?
You think it's...
He may be.
Have you seen what Luka's been doing?
Bro, we're not saying he's the best player in the world.
He's averaging 34.
Bro, we seen T.J. Warren get like 53 straight games. That means
I ain't
he's the best
no
player.
Way
that's
you
not
just
the
compared
thing.
Luka to T.J. Warren. Kick him off the pot.
Bro, that's a bubble run. T.J. Warren was good for
what
a few games.
What does that matter for?
Bro.
He's been doing this for 8 years.
Luka's been literally averaging like 34 for like 6 years.
Nobody said he was.
As of today?
Nobody said he was.
No, he's not.
Nobody said he was, but we're saying it's not crazy to say he is, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's not crazy to say he is.
No.
Bro. I don't think he is.
No.
But I'm not going to walk off the pot because somebody said he is.
Averaging 33, bro.
He's
8
dead,
assists.
Bro. We know what he
almost
is.
Almost 2 steals. He plays defense now. He plays a little bit of defense. He averages almost 2 steals.
Bro, we seen Trae Young average like a steal or something. Like, come on.
That's
bro.
Not the same. Almost 2 steals and a steal are different.
Shout out to Luka's nutritionist, bro. Got him right back in that lab.
Yeah, he looks he's in shape, bro.
He's been hooping. Luka, I think. Between that 3 and 6, because I remember we talked about it on the Playmakers Live show on Saturdays, 12:32. Make sure y'all tap in.
Indeed.
we were talking about when the Lakers, Rockets, Nuggets, Timberwolves all had like a tied record, and the Lakers just have
Lakers
taken
have
off.
Dominated. Well, we got to factor in a lot of stuff. Lakers also has been like the most healthy when it comes to like these teams.
They have some of the most injury prone people on that team.
LeBron went down. We all know. Houston, hang on.
I don't trust Houston at all, boy.
Yeah, Houston's dirt. That's why.
You send a double at Kevin.
You send a double at Kevin, bro. It's grits over there.
You know, except
when
he
passed the ball to Amen Thompson. Then they got something working.
But, yeah, I think just because you have Luka on your team, LeBron is playing great in his role. I think they really bought into the J.J. Redick system.
Austin Reeves is playing Austin great. He's Reeves, averaging like 22.
Luka's a team. LeBron is the third option right now.
LeBron is the third option.
My problem is with this team, it's like.
And DeAndre Ayton's playing defense.
Matchup wise, it's just going to get real tricky when you got to play a Timberwolves, Nuggets, a Spurs. Like, that's going to be an issue.
Why do you say that with the Timberwolves? Out of curiosity.
Because we've seen it last year where they had no big, and it's like, okay, Randle was able to thrive. Mm-hmm. Even Rudy had a great game in game five. And it's like, also, like,
didn't the Lakers win that series?
The Lakers lost
that series.
Which, against the Timberwolves? They lost against the Timberwolves.
When they don't really have like a competent big who's a rim protector, it's like, Ant was thriving just getting downhill and getting to the basket.
Yeah.
So, matchup wise, like, it could be an issue, but I don't think they can go to the finals. I think they can go to the conference finals, and that's it.
But, you know, I think one of the biggest things that we keep on overlooking right now is how J.J. Redick has schemed things up for the Lakers. Like, defensively, they're playing a whole lot better. Everyone is gelling well. Everyone's making concerted effort to contest shots, grab boards. You have Ayton, who is slowly starting to do better. I still need him to drop more points and definitely get his rebound numbers up.
More points?
He's averaging like 12. What, 15? No, he's averaging like 12.
Yeah, he's averaging only 12 points.
Just don't mess up, bro.
Yeah, like if they can just keep this chemistry going and just improve upon it.
And to be honest, three people are accounting for 70 points.
Like, I don't really need
three people are accounting for 70 points.
He's averaging 12. That's probably what I need you to average.
How many boards is he averaging right now?
He's never been a good rebounder.
He's averaging 8 boards, which is probably not bad.
12-8 is solid.
I mean, it's solid.
Luka's going to get 8 a season, and Bron's going to be in that 6 to like 8 range as well.
I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, though, like we were talking about, when you go up against a team like the Minnesota Timberwolves with Rudy Gobert, what I want to see from Ayton is to actually get like 10-plus rebounds, something to help out.
I don't think he
can get 10-plus rebounds because Rudy is one of those – Rudy's one of the better rebounders in the game. And we know like Randle and McDaniels, like I don't think he'll get 10 rebounds.
That's what I'm like – kind of worried about. DeAndre Ayton looked in the mirror and said, I'm not him.
Like, but he's not him, though. We talked about this on the podcast.
Yeah, we did talk about it.
That's accepting your role.
You're not Clint Capella, so like,
and that's good.
Hold your horses, bro. Like, cool.
When you get to the West, the big dogs, they do all have big men.
Exactly. That's my only problem with them is like, you run into one of those teams, who knows what could happen.
Yeah. I just think that the scoring volume that they have counteracts a few teams. I think that takes away... I think that makes them better than the Rockets. I think there's a strategy to beating the Nuggets and that we've seen in recent years, which is just do your best to guard.
Don't the Nuggets own the Lakers?
Here's the thing with the Nuggets when you're playing them. You kind of just have to hope, you know, they can't really hit outside shots.
You really got to hope.
It's really no defense because you can't guard Jokic one-on-one. That's just not working.
Right.
When you send a double, you just have to... Aaron Gordon's turned himself into a reliable shooter, so you can't really be a help man with him, and then we all know what Murray does. It's just you have to hope Christian Brown or one of these other guys can really miss a shot.
What I like when people do is when they make sure Jokic can't get that triple-double. When Jokic can't get, like, 14 assists and he has to score 40, it's a much easier game to win.
Now, I will say that. He scored 40 against us two times in that series, and... We lost one game. We won one game.
I think one of the biggest things, though, like with the Nuggets, everyone wants to talk about Jokic, but to be honest, in my opinion, I think Murray is truly the backbone of that team. Like when him and Jokic are cooking, they're going to win every game. But when
that's not crazy, bro.
No, I understand. Chris, like I get what you're saying.
Chris, hold on, Chris. I'm about to explain. Right?
Okay.
because of how Jokic plays, right? Automatically, teams are prone to double team him, but they forget about Murray.
Okay.
Double team him. That's where most of his assists come into play. He just kicks out to Murray, who pops it for three, or he just simply drives and gets easy layups or dunks.
Okay,
people
are more afraid
of Jokic than they are of Murray when both of them are on the same level of threat.
Yeah, I feel that. And Nuggets, this team is, this team is weird, bro. Like, we know what this team can do, but I don't know, man.
Nuggets in the postseason are a different monster, bro.
They are, but
I just think, like, when if you're playing the Nuggets, you just can't let, you know, Aaron Gordon have a great game. You can't let him have 30. Yeah. You can't let Jamal Murray get 30. But Jokic is almost like a guarantee to get his. Like, his numbers are going to look like whatever. When you play the Nuggets, you have to make sure other people aren't benefiting off that. If Jokic has 15 assists and they're all to Aaron Gordon, and like that's a problem. You can't have Jokic have 30 and Aaron Gordon have 30. Like, you need to control the playmaking, not as much as the scoring from Jokic.
So Houston and Denver would play each other. If season ended, it would be Houston and Denver.
Yeah,
so
I think Denver wins.
You're picking Denver and what?
Denver winning in five.
I might pick them in five, bro. That Rockets offense is trash, bro.
I'm going to go Denver in six.
I was going to say six.
That Rockets, bro, that offense is garbage, though.
That defense is good, though.
When you can't do anything. And I'll be honest, I didn't think Fred VanVleet being out was really going to affect them this much.
They're the four seed.
Bro, they have no playmaker. They have no playmaker on there.
So if Fred VanVleet was there, where would they be at right now?
I'm saying to their offensive-wise, like the way they
That's not
like,
what I'm asking
offense.
You. What? Where would they be seeded at right now?
They'll probably be third or fourth. I'm not saying as a...
So the same spot they're in right now.
I'm not saying... All right, when it get to playoff time...
It's different in the postseason.
I'm saying,
so if they had Fred VanVleet right now, you're picking them over the Nuggets.
I think it'll be a closer series.
So what is the point of this conversation?
Maybe they might win in seven. Maybe if they win in seven.
I feel what you're saying.
I mean, okay. Well, that takes us to our favorite part of the podcast. Shout-outs, man. I want to shout out God. I want to shout out my family. I want to shout out the guys in the booth. Happy everyone's back from spring break. Everybody was safe. Everybody was good. Yeah.
Short of my Lord and Savior. Shout out Paolo Bencaro and the Orlando Magic.
Shout out to God, man. Shout out to my family. Check up on your peoples, man. And safety.
Shout out to God. Shout out to my family. Shout out to my city. Shout out to the guys, man. Happy to be back.
First and foremost, got to give a shout out to God. Shout out to my family. Shout out to you guys. And definitely give a big shout out to March Madness.
And listen, click the link in our bio to give us some feedback at 905 The Flavor and 905 The Flavor Sports. We would love to hear from you guys. Halftime with the Playmakers is produced in the studios of WANM FM 95, the School of Journalism and Graphic Communications.